Hello, and welcome to episode 32 of season 3 of the Connect 2 podcast. I remain Jeff Cullen.
And I am Mark Hughes, and we're back.
We are back. Yeah, we took a week off. It was, I was dealing with some family stuff, and you were having a good time in Sin City, which we're going to hear all about today.
Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah, we're going to talk about two things about the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Yes.
As well as a thing called WPPI and how to attend conferences.
How to attend conferences.
Yeah. So today we have
pants not optional most of the time.
If you're new to the channel, rate, review, subscribe, check us out.
Send us a check. We'll take it.
We have coffee here.
Always.
Always from my roaster's pack. This coffee has got some unusual tasting notes, though. So this one is from Las Nubes by Planet Bean Coffee out of Guelph, Ontario.
Okay.
And this is from San Jose, Costa Rica, which is close to San Jose, Costa Rica, and has notes of brown sugar boba, Buddha's hand, and demerara sugar.
Did you look up what Buddha's hand is?
It's a fruit, apparently.
Okay.
So it says, as you bring the cup to your nose, you're met with the sweet aroma of brown sugar boba. Your first sip will be of a lightly spiced angel food cake with floral citrus notes of Buddha's hand.
There you go.
As the coffee leaves your palate, you're left with the rich sweetness reminiscent of demerara sugar.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. It's good.
Yeah.
Tastes like pretty good cup of joe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, it's really quite nice. It's not, definitely not chocolatey.
No. Not chocolatey.
Not chocolatey.
Thinking of, did Buddha wash his hand?
Oh, it's the other hand.
Okay.
Any dad jokes?
Well, you know what the Buddha said, right?
What did the Buddha say?
Where the hell are my sandals? He wasn't always Zen. Also, did you hear about the dad who went to Las Vegas?
No.
Nobody did, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Vegas.
Exactly.
That's it. That's all I got. I'm not looking stuff up today. I'm not in the mood.
Dad jokes?
Yeah, those were my dad jokes.
Oh, a lumberjack went into the magic forest, started to swing at a tree, and it shouted, "Wait, I'm a talking tree." The lumberjack replied, "And you will dialogue."
That's really bad.
I can cut wood just by looking at it. It's true. I saw it with my own eyes.
There you go. It's not really a joke, but it is somewhat in the vein. Did you hear it? There's this sort of meme about the axe convinced the trees it was one of them because its handle was made of wood. No. That's some dark shit, man.
And whoever stole my Microsoft Office subscription, I will find you. You have my word.
You go. That's the kind of thing you could excel at.
Oh. Way to put a PowerPoint on it.
There you go.
So what did you learn last week?
Well, man, what the hell did I learn? Well, you know, so we had this pretty life-changing, or it didn't really change my life, but life-altering experience. So I'm going to say this. I honestly learned at a deep level that at the end of the day, it's all about the love that one creates and taps into. Everything else is really not all that important. It's about those relationships. It's about what people are going to remember. Yeah. And I learned that at a very personal level. So that's what I learned. Also some stupid stuff on the internet, but don't remember that stuff right now. You?
Well, I learned a couple of things. You just kind of random stuff. So did you know that if you have an EV, an electric vehicle, you kind of have two choices. Now, if you're a Tesla owner, you have two choices. You can go to a public charging station.
Yep.
Which are kind of like in different spots and different setups.
Yep.
And you can go to a supercharger station, which is a Tesla brand stuff.
Yep.
If you are a non-Tesla owner, the superchargers are problematic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one of the things with, if you've ever seen one of these Tesla superchargers, it's like a rectangle with a hole inside.
Yeah, it looks like a wall packet.
Yeah, and it's got kind of a short little cable.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on the word short.
Ah.
So you as a Tesla owner back up and your power connection is at the back.
Right.
Right? On the left side.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right, you know, that's interesting. I never really noticed where that connection was. But okay.
So you tap on it and then it opens up and you plug it in. That's how it works.
Sure.
Okay. And
you have to say the magic words. Elon Musk is great.
Maybe. So the catch is a lot of non-Tesla vehicles, that's not where their power connectors are.
Ah.
A lot of them are in the front right hand corner.
Okay.
Which presents a problem. So a little while ago, Tesla started allowing non-Tesla cars to charge at supercharger stations, but only certain ones.
Only certain cars?
Only certain stations and only certain slots within the station.
Sure.
Because you have to use an adapter on the end of the supercharger plug. The supercharger plug is kind of small and the adapter is kind of big.
Right.
Anyway, but the other problem is that if you go to park your vehicle, you have a problem. So the other cars with the short cable are going to the left rear corner.
Sure.
And the other cars are on the front left.
Front corner. Left. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the problem is you can't be in the same parking spot.
As the charger.
So the chargers have a designated spot.
Sure,
for it.
Of course.
If you go to use it, you're actually in your one spot over.
Right.
Because the cord is too short.
Which I guess is no big deal if it's not busy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So all the Tesla owners will back in, no problem.
Right.
Right. You drive in with your vehicle, because it's at the front, not the back.
You're annoying.
On the opposite side.
In the wrong spot.
You're in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
So not a problem if there's nobody there, but a bit of a problem if it's a busy spot.
Yeah, but we all know Tesla owners are amongst the nicest, smartest people in the world.
Oh, exactly. So, and they only care about humanity.
So I got to tell you this. This is... Now, it's a short sample size, but there is a gas station in our neighborhood. It used to be a Your Spot, but it's turned into a Use. And it's quite famous in Edmonton. It's clearly got the lowest gas prices.
Okay.
Right? By like 11, 12 cents sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Twice I've been there. I've been there more than twice, but on two occasions. One time I almost got into an altercation with a guy who was being a goofball. The other time I saw some guy just totally freaking screaming at this person. And I'm like, there's something about cheap gas that seems to attract the class of odd people, man. Like, I'm expecting there's going to be a fight. The fight with me was... It wasn't my – well, it was partially my fault. Like, I was acting like a complete butthead, and I was not having a good day, and I just – kind of said something a little rude, and then he was threatening to fight me, and I was like, I'm ready to kill this guy because I've just had enough. But the time that it was something else, it was this dude with a big truck, and he was trying to back in. You have to understand, because it's so cheap, the place is always like, there's always like 50 cars, and it's not like at Costco where it's organized for these orderly lanes. People are all every which way, right? So this guy's trying to back up this big pickup truck. But he was quite a bit far away from where he was going to ultimately wind up. So this woman comes up with a little Mazda. She doesn't see him. Well, she was going to zip in. This guy comes out, and man, he's like, I can't even repeat the language. He's like, you stupid, see you next Tuesday. And I'm like, holy man, is this guy wired tight? It's 12 cents a liter, buddy. I mean,
well, this is the thing. I think about this for my R Ioniq, which has like a 45 liter tank. So if you're down to 40 liters, you know, 10 cents a liter, you save $4.
Yeah.
Like people are fighting over, even if it's a 60 liter tank or a 80 liter tank, you're really not talking a lot of money. The main money is the big bill, right? You're talking the tip.
Yeah. Like, absolutely. But so, still.
Yeah.
So it attracts a strange.
Yeah. We have a gas station at the end of our block that also has frequently inexpensive gas. And what's worse is I think their original plan was to have two sets of islands.
Okay.
But there was a complaint because they'd only applied for and designed for
one. Okay.
And so they just built the one, but they put the one where one of the two would have been. And then there's a big empty spot on the other side. So what ends up happening is the island, which should have room for gas on both sides.
Right.
Barely has room for a very small vehicle on one side because there's a sidewalk. Sure. So a lot of people actually drive on part of the sidewalk in order to.
Of course they do.
And what's worse is this place has got diesel. So unless you're driving a smart car, which there's not a lot of them on the road anymore.
Well, they converted those away from diesel pretty quick. Yeah, they went to gasoline engines. What?
So then it's mostly trucks and you can't,
or a VW, VW Golf or something. But yeah, there's not that many diesel cars for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a big truck. Yeah, it's funny. Well, this is the kind of thing an engineer would figure out. I haven't, but right where it's like people go, I drove in from Leduc to come and get 12 cents off. And it's like, what a moron you have to be, right? Or somebody whose time is worth nothing. Because like, you know, we're busy people, right? We work in time is money. So this thing is like three blocks from my house. So it makes sense for me to stop there. I don't know that I would drive, you know, an excessive amount of distance to come and wait for 30 minutes to get 12 cents off. I'm not sure that's cost effective, but
whatever.
And then risk getting punched in the face. Some dude.
Well, exactly. I also learned one other thing that I thought was interesting. Have you ever seen the movie Supersized?
Supersized.
The one about the guy.
Yeah. Donald's with I'm trying to remember his name.
Morgan Spurgeon.
Yes. Spurgeon. Anyways, yes. Turned his liver into pate foie gras.
Yeah.
And then he did a sequel.
He did. Called Holy Chicken.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So there's a problem.
Uh-oh.
So two things happened as a result of that movie. Within 6 months, McDonald's and most of the fast food industry got rid of the option to supersize.
That was a good thing.
So that was a good thing. That was one thing. That was a positive thing that came out of, because the default was, so you can't even get supersized fries or it doesn't exist anymore. It's just gone. The second thing that came out of that was, turns out that Morgan Spurgeon went in, said he had no health issues and all this stuff, and then got a checkup, and then they did the checkup at the end of the month, and his liver was in terrible shape.
Yes.
And I said, I've never seen anything like this. This is crazy. Like, and this is all just, you're sure you're not drinking or anything like that? Because one of the doctors basically says, I've only ever seen this from somebody that's like heavily drinking.
Yeah. And no, a little bit of cocaine and stuff, but no drinking.
It was left for the viewers to assume that the reason and the cause was.
Sure. Purely because of eating this stuff.
Turns out that Spurgeon was an alcoholic, and he stopped drinking for the duration of the month.
Oops.
And the liver issues were almost entirely related to his drinking and a consequence of it. And it's even.
So has he been sued?
No, but he's been kind of discredited.
Wow.
But it was long after the fact. It came out like...
Yes, it's probably fair.
It kind of came out like 2018. Okay. And I think the movie came out like in 2010 or something.
Wasn't there a guy in the movie who actually was in pretty good... He was quite lean. And his shtick was he ate at McDonald's every day. But he only ate the burgers. He was like, I don't have the fries. I don't have a shake. I don't drink the pop. All I eat's a burger. I think there was one. I think it was either Big Macs or Quarter Pounders or something. But this is all that he ate every day for lunch. And they tested him. And he's like, no, he's all of his, you know, levels are great. Like, not high cholesterol.
Well, that could very well be because this was, I mean, that's.
Because the burger, okay, the sauce is probably not that good. But, you know, it's again, is it the best quality beef around? Mm-hmm. Doubtful. Right. But no worse than what you're probably picking up at Safeway. So just eating the burger. And I thought, well, he was either in the movie or there's something that came out after and kind of went, well, you know, if you stay away from the eating spuds every day and drinking like, you know, a liter of sugar water, it may not be that bad.
No, exactly. Yeah. And if they offered to supersize, you always took it.
Right.
So those are kind of things that I've learned since I've been back. Shall we dive into...
Let's talk about your trip.
So my trip had two parts.
Right.
So the first part, we went... So my wife and I went down ostensibly and primarily because we got tickets to see U2's last show at the Sphere. So that was on a Saturday
night. This is not their last show.
No, last show at the Sphere.
At the Sphere.
Yeah.
Which they opened.
They opened at the end of September. They were the first act. They spent a year developing the program for it, and they put on 40 shows.
Right.
So 40 shows.
So one show, well, not every night, but.
No, but over the course of 5 or 6 months, yeah, 40 shows.
40 shows, yeah. Which is like a world tour.
Yeah, it's pretty substantial. And they were asked to stay longer, and they said, no, we're done.
Right.
And.
We have enough money now, thank you.
It's a lot of money.
I imagine.
So the tickets were fairly expensive. We had very middle of the road tickets,
right?
And they were about $500 or $600 each.
Wow.
I mean, they were really expensive. Most expensive concert. Well, second most expensive concert. I can talk about the one that I haven't gone to that I've spent too much money on tickets.
For $100, I hear you can go to the top of Trump Tower in Vegas and watch the Sphere from outside.
Well, there is a Trump Tower in Vegas, and one of the things that's notable about it is it's a big building, but it has no casino.
Yep.
And
we were in Vegas.
And it's off the strip, so.
We'll come back to that, because I heard the story about that. When we were in Vegas last time, we took one of these tours, and they explained to us what it was all about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was why we went. So we went there a day early. We're staying at the Mirage, which is a hotel that hosts Cirque du Soleil performance of Love, which is, and there was
the Beatles thing.
The Beatles thing, which was really quite good. So we actually went and saw that.
Yeah.
And
I tried to stay at the Mirage, but I couldn't find it.
Well, and the thing is, the Mirage was originally built specifically for Siegfried and Roy.
Right.
And they used to have like a menagerie or a zoo.
Yes.
Tied to it. That's closed a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
Finally. Well, even though Siegfried and Roy are long gone, they still had
Have the they animals. Both passed away? One of them died for sure.
One of them died. I'm not sure about the second one. Yeah. So, but it's been bought out by the Hard Rock Cafe, and the Hard Rock Cafe has, or Hard Rock Hotels, and the Hard Rock Hotels has the plan to rip out the volcano that's at the front of the Mirage and replace it with a new building that will be in the shape of a guitar. So the rooms will be in the guitar, the base of the guitar. They've already built one like this. There's one that exists in Florida. And they were going to have like this huge handle for the guitar, but there's some height limitations on the strip. So
there's some group that is wanting in Vegas to build a full scale Starship Enterprise that would be a hotel and conference center.
Oh, that's interesting.
It wouldn't fly, obviously, but it would be the full ship and they're trying to raise money for it. And I'm like, man, that would be cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, we went to see the Sphere. So we went to see U2 at the Sphere.
Yep.
U2 spent a ton.
So what do they do on the outside of the Sphere when the band's playing? Is it just blacked out?
No. It's got other stuff. It's got, it's constantly got something.
But they don't show the show.
No. And in fact, what it had when we were there is it had messages from the band saying, thank you, Vegas.
Okay.
And for
don't
for,
you wish you'd bought tickets the... now.
Yeah. And so if you get close to it, you can kind of see them. The Sphere has these heads with multiple colored LEDs.
Okay.
And then you can see them. So it's super impressive even across the street. But as you get closer, you can really see the. Now, so we get into the place, and the place holds about 18,000 people. So it's the size of Rogers Place.
Right.
Okay. Except all the people are on one side. So there's like four main stacks.
Oh,
so there's the floor, and then it's about half of the Sphere is encompassed with seating, and it goes high. Okay.
Yeah.
And
the seating, you mean, or the Sphere itself, or both?
Both.
Okay.
So the seats go high, and the thing about it is you kind of go in, and I'll put a photo on the website, but you kind of go in and you see the inside of the Sphere. It looks like, you know, concrete blocks stacked. And then you look at up top, and it's got these, it looks like concrete as well. And it's looks like it's open at the top. This is the catch. So, and it looks like, you know, have you ever been to the Parthenon, Italy?
Absolutely.
So the whole, it looked a bit like the Parthenon,
right.
At least the top part.
Pantheon.
Pantheon, that's right. Parthenon is in Greece. I'm looking around, we're you know, I'm videotaping, and then I noticed something really odd as we're going by and looking at this, and there were a couple of things that were really interesting. So, and again, I'll put this on the Facebook.
Sure, page. Sure, absolutely, yeah.
But as you look up to the top for the Pantheon, you could see a bird going flitting between some of these little ledges, and then goes out the top. And I'm going like, I've seen this Sphere from the inside. There's no hole in the top. And then there was a couple times where you saw a balloon kind of stuck and then floating.
So it's simulating like it's concrete, but it's not.
Yeah, because if you look, there's this thing on the top of the roof and it's black.
Yeah.
And if you look closer, it's kind of weird shaped and doesn't line up with the Sphere that on the interior. And we could see a little light. As you can see, there's a light moving around because there's people with headlamps back there, and poof, all of a sudden you can see the whole thing blotted out, like, and they reset it and it eventually disappeared, but you can see this big black and it doesn't matter. And so it was, the whole thing was a screen, and the screen had incredible lighting, incredible detail that you could not tell it was not real. It was shocking.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought it was real.
Sure.
And then U2 came out, and I think they started singing Elevation or something. I think it was Elevation. And they're basically, they have this thing where they you know, they thrash, they go, krink, and then so there's a big, and all the seats are rumbling because the seats have speakers and they vibrate.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then you could see along one of the seams of all these blocks, sand coming out, right? And then they did it again, boom. And then they started going into it. And then it opened up. And it was unbelievable. Like, it was absolutely unbelievable to see. And it's really hard to describe.
Oh, so
the stage looks small, but it's clear that it's quite a big stage.
Right. So it looks like the concrete
is parting.
When you realize It's all just. And there's the sphere. Look at that.
There is the sphere. It's just unbelievable. And so, and it is.
People must have lost their shit.
It is it was really hard. It's really hard to describe how amazing the show was, because I've seen U2 twice and they always put on a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And I've seen lots of bands. I have never seen a performance like this. The between the U2, who I like, and the Sphere, which was like, took it to 11, right? Like, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow.
And
so what's going to be there now? They probably hit nothing for a couple weeks.
No, they have a bunch of other stuff going on, but nothing that will have had the amount of money. Clearly U2 spent money, because each of the songs that had been planned. So apparently this is the thing. So during the last performance, there was a couple of songs that they had that were not specifically part of their usual repertoire.
Right.
So they had a particular setup for that. It still looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But for the ones that were planned, the integration between the band, the cameras that are on the band, and the Sphere was amazing, and the resolution is huge. And you know, you've seen lots of bands where they have screens that project. There's no screens that project like this. Like,
right.
Well, and they're not projecting, they're actually playing them on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like a giant, and it turns out from a technical perspective, they only have one camera that can actually record at a high enough resolution to do. It's not homemade, but it's a purpose-built rig.
Sure.
So if you were to do IMAX, it would be this little tiny thing at the bottom. It just doesn't have anywhere near the resolution that you need in order to be able to put on a performance at the Sphere. And, you know, some of the camera manufacturers like Canon put out a statement last week that said, we don't have a camera that can do the Sphere. Like we don't have anything that comes close.
That's amazing.
So anyway. Well,
good for you. Sounds like it was awesome.
Yeah, and the following day we went to this place that I think you and your boys would really enjoy if you ever go to Vegas. It's called Area 15.
Okay.
So it's kind of a play on 51.
Yeah.
And so it's got all of this stuff. It's kind of a combination of virtual reality simulators, arcades, and art show, art installation, wow, and techno stuff.
Sure.
And then it also has this thing called the Omega Mart.
Okay.
Which there are three Omega Marts in, or Meow Wolf Omega Mart. And there's three of them in the U.S. The first one is in Santa Fe, and this one is quite interesting. You go in and like, I didn't really understand it. I'm paying this money to go see a messed up grocery store. So it's a grocery store, but everything that's in the grocery store is weird.
Okay.
It looks like a grocery store.
It's kind of an interesting concept.
You can't actually buy anything, but so you get so there's some photos from.
Oh wow!
Too. Like, yeah. It's just, you can sort of see how just, and they had a balloon with this. He's holding a string to the balloon. Like, it was, the integration was impressive.
You
go in, just a sec, it's all part of the, I'm showing off.
Yeah. We're looking at, some of these will be on the website. So this is the Megasphere.
This is Area 15.
Oh, and
then
wow.
And then the Omega Mart.
Omega Mart.
It's way over here. Too many photos.
I was going
to
say.
Give it to a photographer.
You're dealing with a professional photographer. There's a lot of shots.
Well, I'll take it with my phone, because you can't go in there with a regular. So it looks like a grocery store.
Okay.
And then, but then you get things like, you've heard of, what's the stuff that you get that says, I can't believe it's not butter?
I can't believe it's not butter. Yeah.
But this one says, who told you that was butter? Do not eat. Right. And everything is just a weird crisper crunch, like the crisper
instead of
from
Captain Crunch.
DNA stuff, and Fruity Loopy holes. And then you've got cans of camel soup, not Campbell soup.
Right.
And it says, you know, homestyle pigeon, barley. fashioned beef, hint of husks, implied chicken, of mushroom.
So is this just an art exhibit?
It is kind of an art exhibit, actually. So you basically go into...
Is it interactive at all?
It's totally interactive. So it looks like a small grocery store when you start. But then you realize all the tags are weird. How much you pay is weird. Everything is weird. And then you go through, there's ways to get into the next section.
Okay.
And that in and of itself is super interesting. And then you get in and there's this whole world beyond. And there's a story and you can explore and try and figure out and understand the story and what happened. And there's all these interactive displays, multiple levels. So this, I mean, it's a small grocery store that turns into something that's the size of a warehouse.
Ah, interesting.
And they also, and at Area 15, they also have this thing. You can go like on an African safari. It's like a 3D.
Okay.
Thing that you're inside the space. It's actually quite nice.
Interesting.
And they also have I think there's something going to the moon or on the space station.
So Vegas is still trying to maintain that family entertainment.
Well, this is just off the strip. It's just off the strip. Right. It's on the other side of the highway.
Right.
And but it's definitely worth the time. You need to spend time though, because A, it's expensive, and B, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And interesting. So that was pretty cool.
What's the thing? Like, I've been twice. Paulette's been a few more times. I think she's been three times. And it is an amazing place in its constant renewal, right? Well, maybe not forever, but modern day Vegas, right?
Well, even
always renewing stuff. And
even so we go to the Mirage, which is kind of like it's kind of an average hotel.
Right.
It's actually on the downbeat, I guess, or down.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, they've made it clear they're going to replace it, but there's a lot of hotel rooms, like just on my floor that I was on, and I don't know, it has 30-40 floors. There's 120-130 rooms.
Yeah, I know.
Like it's astonishing, the scale. And so the number of people and the number of casinos, the number of restaurants, the number of everything, and everything on the strip is probably twice as expensive.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yep.
But this was 3 days, and then my wife.
Yeah. Three days in Vegas is a long
time. It's a long time. And even the distances are huge.
I mean, right.
You basically, you can see the building you're going to, but it's going to take you half an hour.
For sure.
It's a long walk.
Absolutely.
And we
kind of fun, though.
So my wife stayed for 3 days and came back home.
Yep.
And then I stayed because there was a conference that I found out after we already had the U2 tickets.
Sure.
That was the following week.
Right.
And it's called WPPI, which is the Wedding and Portrait Photographers Conference.
Before we get to that, let me just tell you the Trump Tower or the Trump building story.
Sure.
That we heard. So the Wynn, right?
Yeah.
Owned by an actual billionaire. I think his name is Tony Wynn. Or Gwynn?
It's Wynn. His last name. Yeah.
So the way that, and so we were on one of these tours because we were there for 3 or 4 days. And by the end of it,
they have two. There's Wynn and the Encore.
Yeah. Anyways, this would have been, the tower was built quite a while ago. Anyways, we got this information from one of these tours where we toured all of the reality TV shows, you know?
Okay.
And the host on the bus was an ex-showgirl who now does, like, she hosts the, you know, this is where they do Counting Cars, and here's the, you know, Pawn Stars, you know, the actual store, not the one that they've built to film the show, because that's a different, that's a set.
But that's all done in Vegas.
It's all in Vegas.
I did not know the Pawn Stars.
Yeah, it's all in Vegas. Anyways, we passed the Trump building, right? And so the story is, not unexpectedly, Trump got into a fight with this Tony Wynn, because he built his building taller, right? But it's a bit of a cheat. Trump did. You know, so Wynn built the first casino that they built, and Trump came along and he built the thing taller, right? But it's bullshit because it's just the cap on the top of the building.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, there's no floors. It's just this extra tall
bit,
right? Well, he was supposed to get a casino, and Wynn was mad, so doesn't carry minimal influence in Nevada. So apparently he blocked Trump like
from getting
consumed. Did an investigation and they found there was some funny business going on. And yeah, the Nevada Gaming Commission said, yeah, no casino for you.
Well, and you would think, given his experience with Trump Casino in Atlantic City, that would be a bit of a black mark for moving forward with a new casino.
Well, I don't think he'd gone broke in, I mean, the building was built, it's like 20, 25 years ago, right? But yeah, he's never been able to get a casino license. And given his performance, it's probably actually a good thing. He would have bankrupted that Vegas casino. Yeah, but he got into a bit of a, you know, whose appendage is bigger fight with this Tony Wynn. And guess what? His wasn't.
When his is not on the script.
Exactly. The script. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
so we went to this conference.
Right.
So I went
to wedding photographer.
Wedding and portrait photographers. Oh, and
portrait photographers. Yeah.
Now this is quite the conference. So, in its heyday, it had about 15,000 attendees.
Wow.
It got hammered pretty hard with COVID.
Sure.
But this year they had about 7,000.
Okay.
So
that's a pretty good conference.
Sizable conference. And had a huge trade show. But I've experienced.
Did you buy anything?
No, I didn't buy anything, but I have switched some providers of stuff, and actually it was a great conference for two separate reasons. So the educational component was really good.
Oh yeah.
But even better was I'm a professional photographer of Canada, and there's an association in Canada.
Right.
And there was a whole bunch of them that were going to this, and they were all first timers, including me. I'd never gone before.
Right.
And so we linked up on Facebook ahead of time. And then when we met, we arranged and we met, and they're a great bunch.
Nice.
And it was a ton of fun. Oh my God. They partied hard though. They would go up till like 1 or 3 in the morning, and they would be up at classes at 8:30, and I'm going like,
"How'd you do?"
Yeah, not. I was able to stay up part, but
I'm here.
I wasn't doing so good in the first thing in the morning thing, and and I managed to connect with a friend of mine that I'd met at a previous conference.
Okay.
In a much smaller one for dog and pet photographers
right.
in September last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's out of LA, and it was her first time. And it was really nice. There's all these PPOC people. Adopted her and made her an honorary Canuck for the duration of the and like they did everything together. It was pretty awesome.
Very fun.
I mean she's great. She's great.
How long was that conference? A couple 3 days or something?
It started Sunday night and went until Thursday.
Oh wow. That's
so a it was long 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean there was just stuff going on all the time.
Nice.
And we tried going to, you know, participating in all kinds of events. But what's interesting about conferences, and this conference was no exception. I've been to other conferences that are like this. So I used to go when I was a forensic engineer to this thing called the Risk Insurance Management Society. Yeah. So this is nowhere near as fun as a
I was about to say, may I go out on a limb here and suggest that a engineering conference might not be as much fun.
It wasn't even engineering
as photographers.
It was an insurance conference.
Oh my God.
So it's still, it would have about 2,000 or 3,000 people. So it's still a sizable conference with a big trade show.
Oh, sure.
But what became really obvious, like I would go to those and I didn't have any real connections. And I'd gone to multiple ones, is that there was two conferences that were happening simultaneously. There was the official one, and then there was the unofficial.
Ah, yes.
So what ended up happening is, so the official one is the one that has a program, has the trade show, and, you know, they'll have classes and all that stuff. But the unofficial one, at least for the insurance one, was much bigger and much more lucrative.
Mm.
So what ended up happening is all the main vendors and providers that were there, they would have their email list and they would arrange to meet their clients and, you know, take them for dinner, to special events, all this
hospitality
stuff,
suites
and somewhere all else.
Yes.
Right. And spend big bucks on their clients. And that's where a lot of the work was being done. So right. even though the Risk Management Society, Risk Insurance Management Society was kind of the main event, or at least the face of the main event.
Yeah, yeah.
All the business was being done at this unofficial
sure.
side thing. And they would rent nightclubs and like, I mean, we're talking big money, right? Mm-hmm. This photography conference didn't have the big money.
Right.
Although it was a lot more fun and there were a lot more.
And a lot more people too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this one did the same thing. There was kind of the official conference.
Yeah.
And then there was kind of the extra conference. So like, so there was one of the vendors that, that put on its own speakers.
Oh, interesting.
In a classroom next to and across from the official WPPI conference. And what's really weird is, so there's this company called Emerald Holdings that now owns WPPI. So it put it on, also owns this other thing that used to have its own conference called the Portrait Masters.
Interesting.
And they basically combined them, and they were, so if you had tickets to the WPPI, you couldn't go into the Portrait Masters ones. But I think if you were in Portrait Masters, you could go into the WPPI. And the timing wasn't exactly the same. So this was actually like three conferences
wow.
at the same time. And but I have to say, it's got the same thing with this sure. unofficial. And then on the yeah. trade show, they would actually, had flown in some of their ambassadors and their so like, so Canon or Nikon
okay. yeah.
or Sony or whoever had their own, yeah. own ambassadors that represent sure. their brand, and they would have them speak on a stage in the trade show, and you could interact with them. So these were really amazing high profile photographers.
Right.
And yeah, it was really cool. Now,
hey, Nikon, are they really the devil's spawn? It's put on by Minolta. That should be an it should be a good one.
Minolta doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
Nikon killed him.
Proof. Somebody bought them. Who bought them? I can't remember.
Interesting.
Somebody bought them.
There's the, of all the things to pick, the one that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, there's lots.
Betrays my lack of current photographic knowledge.
Yes. Well, it's okay. It's there's been a lot of changes in the photography industry.
Do they still make photocopiers, Minolta? They're just gone.
I don't know. It's a good yeah. question. Canon still makes photocopy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sony makes TV.
There you go.
And Nikon just bought Red. And Red is Nikon is a primarily just photography.
Right.
Stuff. But Nikon bought, just like this past week, bought Red. And Red is like a high-end cinema. It's an American cinema camera manufacturer.
Ooh, interesting.
And this is a big deal for
it's a big thing.
Nikon wow. and Red and for everybody else.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. So, there you go.
Anyway.
Well, sounds like it was a hoot. And your pictures on Facebook look like you're having a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, you're hanging out with a bunch of photographers. And,
right.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, there were some.
All using your iPhones instead of your actual camera.
Well, and I tried very hard to say yes a lot. Right. Because, you know, for me in the past, when I would go, especially if I go to these RIMS conferences or other kind of conferences.
You got to be careful what you say yes to.
Yes.
Hey, Mark, true. We're all going to go down to this bar and get fucked up. Okay. Sounds good.
Well, I didn't do that. But the.
We're going to go into the desert.
But
ayahuasca. Sure. What the hell?
Oh, it was funny. We had this one of the.
And Mark was never seen again. Never came back from. Never came back from Vegas.
One of the ladies wanted to go on the roller coaster at New York. She heard there was a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, okay. I'm going to go on this roller coaster, you know. And
that's not the one that's on the top of the tower.
No.
The New York one is.
New York is, well, it's on the top of
New York. They had the one that was the Stratosphere. Is that still around?
That's gone.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying about Vegas is amazing.
And the Stratosphere, while it's still there and quite visible, is apparently quite run down. It's not in great shape.
New York.
So she wanted to go to New York, and we're going like, you know, it's going to take us a while to get there. It's going to take us half an hour to get there. And, it closes at 11. Well, anyway, she was adamant. So we went, and there was a crew of us, probably about 8 or 9 or 10 of us. And we went, and I think there was five of us actually went on the roller coaster. We made it there with 5 minutes to spare. So we were either on the last or the second last for that evening.
Right.
And the girl that was super interested in doing this, she's a bit of a easily startled. She screams. She's so full of energy. She's a lot of fun.
Right.
So as the, you know how a roller coaster always starts and it's like, slow.
Yeah. Not this one.
She starts screaming as it's doing that. And I'm going like, oh boy,
you're in for a bit of a ride.
And then she's going up, and then you see how high the thing goes up. Now, I've gone, I can't remember. It was last summer. I think it was the summer before I went and took my son, and we went to Canada's Wonderland.
Oh yes.
Took a whole bunch of like really big, scary. I mean, this was a pretty good roller coaster, but it's nowhere near as scary as any of the ones that I was on at Canada's Wonderland.
Right.
So I'm just, but she's going like, I thought this was like a giddy roller coaster. And I'm going, no, this is a real roller coaster. It goes, and she starts absolutely screaming.
Why would you put a kiddie roller coaster in a casino in Vegas? What logic would that be?
Well, exactly. So we go up, and I could not stop laughing because I was laughing at her, because it was like this running play by play and comments, and it was a hoot. And so we did that, and that was. And then as we were walking back, you know, three of them are saying, we're going to get a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They
stop
by this tattoo shop. They're looking, and they're actually thinking about it.
Oh, wow.
I'm going like, I'm not getting a tattoo.
Probably don't want to do that.
No. And anyway, it was.
Did any of them get?
No, it was. And it was a good thing.
Because you get those temporary tattoos. You'd see that would be
popular. These guys did not have temporary tattoos. And it turns out that it was a good thing that they didn't, because the guy who was going to do the tattoo is actually not a very good tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
We saw some of his tattoos and we're like, oh man, this is really bad.
Right.
So anyway, it was an interesting idea, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they spent a lot of time, and it was a lot of fun hanging out with them when
you
they
know
were
where they. If you're going to get a tattoo, you should probably do it in Utah, where you're going to have like a lot of sober reflection time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Vegas is not a good place. I probably shouldn't get married or get a tattoo in Vegas.
Well, I think you'd get remarried would be okay.
Maybe remarried.
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But not to, like married a second time, not like married to the same person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not a renew your vows. You
could do the Star Trek wedding or the Elvis marry you, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Lori and I were toying with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually getting remarried as in a second marriage in Vegas.
Yeah, probably. No. Also not.
Because there's already a higher probability of second divorce, right? Second marriages don't usually, they have a higher probability than first marriages.
Yeah.
I bet that gets amplified. Oh, and where did you marry your second wife? In Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to talk about was...
Good luck!
Was Kate Middleton. So Kate Middleton is in the news.
She's missing.
Because she's basically gone missing. And so I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Mother's Day...
This is a... What the hell's her first name?
Kate.
No. This is like Miscavige, the leader of Scientology. His wife went missing.
That's right. Did she ever show up?
Decades ago. No.
She disappeared.
They don't know where she is.
Well, so Kate Middleton released a photograph.
Yeah.
For
photographers English, know this, right?
English Mother's Day, which is this.
Is there a different Mother's Day in England?
There's actually a different Mother's Day in a lot of countries. I've just learned something.
Really?
Yeah. So I discovered this a few years ago. So Mother's Day is different in England, and it's different in Portugal. It's different. So there's,
this is the Hallmark people saying, let's spread it out
so we can get these cards out more often.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. So she released this.
She photoshopped this image, and it turns out that it was photoshopped, and it was a bad,
not just Photoshop, but I've been following it on X.
Bad Photoshop.
And they're like, this looks like this is actually her face from a completely different picture. Not just like touched up, constructed.
Yeah, well, it maybe.
And now they're saying the photo of her reflection in a car is also, somebody went, the internet's amazing, right? They're like, here's this picture of her at this church.
Yeah, but they're always,
the shape of her head is exactly the same.
They're always looking for conspiracy. You know, part of the thing is, you know, if, I mean, as a photographer, sure, you can have two photographs and people say, oh, you know, you took that photograph and this catches it.
It is the same person.
And fundamentally, they'll have similar smiles.
Sure.
And, you know, it won't be night and day
between the
two. Otherwise, you wouldn't recognize the people.
Yeah.
But the catch is it was a bad Photoshop job, like a very amateurish Photoshop job, which is kind of funny because you would think that the Royal Palace could hire people to do a proper job.
They are a bit frugal, I think.
Well, and so if you're doing family photos, it's not unusual, especially when you have four people and you're trying to get a nice smile and all that stuff, is to Photoshop it because you're really trying to get all four of them looking at the camera at the same time with their eyes open.
Well, or like you told me, smiling. You did a big group and one person came the day after.
Yeah,
you
just
put them in there.
Yeah, exactly. No, you couldn't.
But you're not putting it out on. You
couldn't tell that.
No, but you're not.
Because I did a good job of Photoshop.
Yeah. But you're also not putting it out.
As an
to
Instagram.
The media as a,
yeah,
you know, a thing.
Well, and Kate Middleton.
Here he is. Sent, you know, he was there.
Reportedly said, I'm sorry, I was just experimenting with Photoshop.
Oh, so sure. I'm yeah. Sure. Yeah. Like the princess, what is she? The princess of Wales.
Yeah.
In her spare time is going to just be like, yeah.
Like, I'm an amateur photographer.
Yeah,
so exactly. I like to dabble with photo editing. Well, so it is bad Photoshop. So. Actually, it is plausible that she was just screwing around with Photoshop because it's not a great, like a good photo. Like you'll never tell.
The Spanish media say she's actually in a coma.
Yeah. So there are a lot of.
You can't trust the Spanish media.
There are a lot of.
Who can you trust?
There are a lot of.
The Italians?
Rumors. So there's people who say that their photo is from Vanity Fair and it was stuck on their face.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that there's something funny because her hand doesn't have any rings on it. So it's.
Right.
So maybe.
Saw that. Why didn't they Photoshop in her
she's
rings?
She's getting a divorce. Mm. And yeah. So, and supposedly there is a mistress. Prince William has a mistress.
Yes.
Stephen
Colbert.
Maybe she's related to Camilla.
Did a riff on the supposed mistress.
There's a lot of rumors, and by not being visible, and it's kind of mysterious. She had routine abdomen surgery, and
which is not a thing,
and she was in hospital for 2 weeks and has not appeared for this entire year.
I know.
It's already March.
It's crazy.
So, there's probably
now people are like, "Way to go, Harry! You got Meghan out of there just in time."
Yeah,
right.
So who knows what the scoop is? But anyway, what I really wanted to get at was that the Photoshop errors she did were kind of amateurish Photoshop errors.
Well, obviously.
Well, so like anybody,
perhaps
any photographer,
she did it on purpose. So that people would know
who was her cry for help.
She's being forced to Photoshop herself.
She's a cry.
She's like, if I do a good job,
then nobody would know.
I'll stay locked in the Tower of London.
It says, and if you read it very closely, it says, "Help me."
But if I screw it up,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, speaking of that, now I don't know if it's true or not, but I saw, you know, there's always these things that come up, weird photos, and so apparently, if this is true, products made like in China. The people in the factory on the label will print messages.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, so people have found garments. Because who reads the label, right?
Yeah.
But you read it and it says, one said, I have tooth pain. And another said, help me, I'm a prisoner.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, you know, here's all the cleaning instructions. And at the bottom,
I'm a prisoner.
This sort of serendipitous cry for help. I don't know what this person is expecting is going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, my shirt was made in Bangladesh. Better phone Interpol. What?
What exactly?
But now I'm going to be looking at all my labels to see if there's a message.
Any media you consume?
Yeah, I'm still getting through season 4 of True Detective, which is quite good. It's very supernatural-ish, this one.
Okay.
Watching Enterprise. I hadn't appreciated just how much of that show I missed the first run.
Okay.
Right? So I'm into season 3 and there's certain episodes in season 2 that I remember, but there's a bunch of them that I was like, I don't think I ever saw this. So
I don't think I saw lots of Enterprise.
So I'm just getting into that
The one year
that's the whole arc, the whole story about the Zindi. So that's good.
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
And other than that, I mean, it's been a busy... Well, I took a course, 3-day course on recasting financials. So that's not really media, but I learned a lot and had to consume a lot.
Well, I certainly can.
91 on the exam, baby. Boom.
Exactly.
Yeah, big brain on me.
So I was on the plane on WestJet,
right?
Flying down to Vegas, they had...
How was that? Because I hear WestJet's just crap these days.
It was okay. Yeah. It was just very okay.
Yeah.
Used
to be great.
But, you know, you can use your tablets on board, use WestJet Connect.
Yeah.
And they have a whole bunch of movies. And one of the movies was this, the Lebanese Burger Mafia. So I think I had talked about this before.
Oh, this is Burger Baron.
The Burger Baron.
All owned by, extended members of a big family.
No, they're not related. Not all related. There are a lot that are related, but they're all owned by Lebanese
people. Yeah.
And they weren't, it was started by an American named McDonald. Not McDonald, but McDonald.
Oh, McDonald.
And he wanted to create something lots like McDonald's.
Right. Lots of Lebanese people and lots of McDonald's in Lebanon.
Yeah. Anyway, it had at one point in time like a thousand. Like it was big.
Really?
Yeah. Now
I didn't know it was that big. I thought it was just a Edmonton
thing. No. It's an Alberta thing now. It used to be Saskatchewan,
BC. Yeah, but they didn't have 1,000 in Canada?
Yeah, in Canada and the U.S., they even had one, a Burger Baron in Beirut.
I was going to say, well, you'd have to have one in Lebanon.
There was one in Beirut. It's gone, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely a chain.
Did it shut down or was it destroyed in some kind of horrific thing?
So, this guy, his father is one of the Burger Barons. And so he's a descendant from Lebanese immigrants.
Is this a legitimate title?
No.
Like the Duke of Windsor? Or?
Baron of Burgers. But anyway, the thing that was interesting about it is, he did like a short.
Okay.
And it was really good. And then he was doing like a Patreon campaign.
Oh, this is an extended film.
So he made it a full length film, like an hour and a half.
Wow.
It was on WestJet.
So what's the key takeaway?
And
don't eat at Burger Baron?
No, it's just the story behind the Burger Barons is very cool.
Because there are a few still open.
Yeah. And the mushroom, he actually gives at the end of the movie, and spoiler alert, gives the recipe for the mushroom burger, which is the secret.
Wow.
So anyway, he's let the cat out of the bag. But anyway,
make a burger, put mushrooms on it.
Well, it's
their secret mushroom sauce.
To see the secret mushrooms.
Yeah. Okay.
And anyway,
sprinkle with a little psilocybin.
It's the only thing that
you're good
that
to go, baby.
It's the only thing that's common to all the Burger Barons is the mushroom.
The mushroom burger secret recipe.
Yep.
Wow.
But, so I gave
it's
some
money. It's kept in a vault in Beirut.
I had tickets to go to the premiere because I had given some money. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was.
Oh, to the Patreon or the fundraiser thing.
Yeah. And then, so I couldn't go because I was doing something else. And so my wife went and ended up sitting with the filmmaker's family.
Wow.
And, it turns out at the end of the movie, I'm in the credits.
Why?
Because I donated
okay. Well, that's cool.
So it's very cool. I'm going like, no,
yeah.
I'm not going to be in. I'm in there. My name is in there.
Go. So we can look you up on ISBN now.
Yeah. No. ISBN is the thing for books.
Oh, no. What's the?
IMDb.
IMDb, right?
Yeah, no. My brother's in IMDb.
I bet.
And I was telling you about this woman that from LA, photographer.
Yeah.
She's got an official WikiLeaks.
Wow.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia page.
Sure. Yeah, it's actually super cool.
Don't you? I created my own.
No, I know. And she's verified. So they actually do a verification thing for Wikipedia as well.
Right.
Anyway, that's my
media
content.
Well, that was quite the week.
Yeah. So that's about it. I'm looking forward. I'm going to try and go see Dune on Saturday. So Dune 2.
Dune 2.
Part 2.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be quite good.
But I've heard it's good. Frank Herbert's son spoke very highly of it. Said it's the best adaptation of his father's original novel. Not that there's been a ton, but then I think they did a TV series, right? At one point.
They did, yeah.
So there was the original movie from way back
in the 80s.
Sting.
Then the early 2000s,
there was Kyle MacLachlan, which was okay.
There was one that was done on Netflix, I think.
Yeah.
And apparently it kind of cheaped out on some of it. But and then this one, and Denis Villeneuve is director, and he's taken some liberties.
Sure.
Because he said that Robert Heinlein, is that who it is?
No, it's Frank Herbert.
Frank Herbert. Frank Herbert identified that there was a problem with his second book.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why he did Dune Messiah. And right. So
God, Denis Villeneuve
is trying to incorporate some of those elements into this.
To make it a cohesive story.
Yeah, he was disappointed at how it was perceived. Frank Herbert was disappointed how parts of Dune 2 were received.
Oh, yeah.
So he tried to correct it with the third.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So, well, sure, why not? It's a movie adaptation.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Anyway.
There you go. Well, that's probably why his son said it was the best. Probably he was looking at it in the broader context of the whole story. So, there you go. Okay. Well, next week is next week, and we'll see you then.
Okay.
All right.
See you. Bye.